Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this conversation between Maharaj Nimi and the Navayugendas is in Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, chapters 2 and 3. So the Navayugendas, there are 9 of them, and Maharaj Nimi posed 9 questions to them when they came to visit the king, Maharaj Nimi. And so the first question is, what's the highest good? And Sri Kavi, who is one of the Navayugendas, is answering that question. And that's where we're at now. So continuing with the question, the answers to the questions, it's in a few texts in Canto 11, Chapter 2. So today we're reading Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text 37. Okay, so Bayam divya binibeshata syad Ishal apitasya vipayayo smriti Tanmayayato buddha abhajetam Bhaktyei kayesham guru deva tatma. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as the servant, as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is effected by the potency for illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and as his very life and soul. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the objection may be raised that since fear is caused by ignorance, it can be dispelled by knowledge and there is no need to worship the Supreme Lord. The living entity falsely identified with his material body, family, society, and so on, and he simply has to give up this false identification. Then what will Maya be able to do? In reply to this argument, Srila Sridhar Swami has quoted the following verse from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 14. Daivihesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mam eva epapadyante mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. The living entity called Jiva Tattva is one of the potencies of the Supreme Lord. But the constitutional position of the living entity is Tatastha, or marginal energy. Marginal. Being minute, every living entity is eternally dependent upon the Supreme Living Entity, Krishna. This is confirmed in the Vedic literature as follows. Nitya Nityanam Chetananas Chetanam Eko Bahuna Yog Vidarati Kaman, which means, among all the eternal conscious beings, there is one supreme eternal living being who is supplying the needs of all the innumerable others. Katha Upanishad 2.1.12. Krishna Das Kaviraj has stated, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sava Vritya. Krishna is the only independent controller. All other living entities depend upon him. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 5, text 142. Just as the finger is part and parcel of the body, and therefore must always be engaged in bodily service, we as parts and parcels of Krishna, Mamaibam So Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, Bhagavad Gita 15:7, we have the eternal duty, Sanatana Dharma, of engaging in the unalloyed service of the Lord. The potency of the Lord that enlightens us in the Lord's service is called Chit Shakti. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj comments that when the living entity develops a spirit of independence, he is forced to come to the material world, where he enters into various types of petty and undesirable behavior that create a fearful situation for him. The Bahiranga Shakti, the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord, covers all traces of the Chit Shakti and imposes one material body after another upon the living entity for his gross sinful enjoyment. As further punishment, the living entity who has given up his loving relationship with Krishna loses all power to perceive the eternal, blissful form of the Supreme Lord, who is his actual shelter. Instead of that, the living entity becomes attached to many temporary phantasmagorical forms, such as his personal body, the bodies of his family members and friends, his nation, his city with its buildings and cars, and innumerable types of ephemeral material scenery. In such a state of gross ignorance, the idea of returning to one's original identity no longer even crosses the mind. By the laws of God, the three modes of material nature are constantly in conflict, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. This conflict is described in many places in the Bhagavatam as guna vyati karam. When the living entity is bewildered by the interactions of the modes of the material nature, he comes to the conclusions of relativity and assumes that God and worship of God are simply byproducts of the relative contradictory interactions of nature's modes. In the name of anthropological, sociological, or psychological perspective, the living entity falls deeper and deeper into the darkness of materialistic ignorance, dedicating himself to mundane piety, economic development, sense gratification, or speculation, in which he regards the absolute as lacking variety and personality, which he assumes to be the products of the interactions of nature's modes. The illusory potency of the Supreme Lord is Duratyaya. It is impossible to escape without the direct mercy of Krishna. Mam evaye prapadyante mayam etam talantite, Bhagavad Gita 7:14. The example may be given that when the sun is covered by clouds, no man-made apparatus can remove them from the sky. But the sun itself, which created the clouds, can immediately burn away the cloudy covering and reveal itself. Similarly, when we become covered by the illusory potency of the Lord, we identify our temporary material body, and thus we are in fear and anxiety always. But when we surrender to the Lord himself, he can immediately free us from this illusion. The material world is Padam Padam Yapi Padam, Srimad Bhagavatam 10th Canto, chapter 14, text 58. It is dangerous at every step. When a living entity understands that he is not the material body, but an eternal servant of God, his fear is vanquished. As stated by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Atra bhakte samsara bandhan na vetavyam sahi bhakto pravartamanasya svata eva payati. In this Bhagavad Dhamma, devotees have no need to fear the bondage of material existence. That fear goes away of its own accord for one who engages in devotional service. That fear goes away on its own accord for one who engages in devotional service. It is important to make clear that bhayam, or fear, cannot ultimately be vanquished simply by impersonal self-realization as expressed by the words Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit soul. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.12, Narada Muni says to Vyasadeva, Neshkamyam apyachuta bhava varjitam na sobhate mere neshkamyam. Or cessation of material activities and repudiation of the bodily concept of life cannot ultimately save one. The living entity must find a superior shelter on the spiritual platform. Otherwise, he will come back to the fearful situation of material existence. This is stated in the Shastra. Aruhya krichena Param padam tata patyanti adho nadrita yushmad angraya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Text 32. Although one may with great labor and effort struggle up to the Brahman platform, klesho didkataras tesham avyatak shakta chetasam, Bhagavad Gita 12.5. If he does not find a suitable shelter, he will come back to the material platform. His so-called liberation is vimukta mana, liberation by imagination. The living entity is by nature pleasure-seeking, anandamaya. Now we are suffering because we are falsely seeking pleasure on the material platform, and as a result, we are becoming entangled in the painful complexities of material existence. But if we try to give up the pleasure-seeking propensity altogether, we shall become eventually frustrated and return to the platform of material pleasure-seeking. Although there is eternal existence on the Brahman platform of impersonal realization, there is no ananda. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. In the Vaikuntha planets, there is actual spiritual ananda. Krishna is there in his ecstatic spiritual form, surrounded by his blissful associates, all of them eternally full of bliss and knowledge. They have nothing to do with material existence. In the spiritual planets, even the scenery and birds and animals are fully conscious of Krishna and are absorbed in transcendental bliss. Yat gatva na nivartante tat dhamma paramam mama, Bhagavad Gita 15.6. One who goes to the blissful spiritual planet of Krishna will be fully satisfied and never come back to the material platform. Therefore, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has said, Kim chatra bhakte samsara padan na vyetavyam. Only the bhakta actually becomes free from fear. Only the bhakta actually becomes free from fear. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has emphasized the necessity of accepting a bona fide spiritual master who is Vajendranandana Preshta, the dearmost servitor of the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna. The bona fide spiritual master is completely free from envy of other living entities, and therefore he freely distributes knowledge of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When living entities who are inimical to the service of the Lord
somehow hear this knowledge submissively, they become free from the illusory potency of the Lord, which has covered them and thrown them into the various miserable species of life. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by the mercy of the spiritual master, the faithful disciple gradually realizes the transcendental position of Lord Narayan, who is served with great awe and reverence by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. As the disciple's transcendental knowledge gradually increases, even the Parameshwara, or the supreme opulence of Lord of Vaikuntha, becomes pale in the light of the beauty of Govinda, Krishna. Govinda has inconceivable potency to enchant and give pleasure, and by the mercy of a spiritual master, the disciple gradually develops his own blissful relationship, Ras, with Govinda. Having understood the blissful pastimes of Lakshmi Narayan, Sri Sita Ram, Rukmini Dwarkadish, and finally Lord Krishna himself, the purified living entity is given the unique privilege of participating directly in the devotional service of Krishna, who becomes his only object and shelter.
Om Agnati Miranyasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mayam Dadati Swaha Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sahabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha He Krishna Kruna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Palamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpat Rubyascha Kripa Sundhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadarha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hari Hari Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tiyamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirveshesha Sunyavari Paschatyade Sitarini Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayati Vishnaya Krishna Chitani Namni Gora Chushe Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himavya Divacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Rasa Padaya Chitani Chandrayan Mona Maste, Chitani Chandrayan Mona Maste, Chitani Chandrayan Mona Maste, Chitani Chandrayan Mona Maste. Hare Krishna.
So, the translation for the text, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text 37, is: fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is effected by the potency for illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and his very life and soul. Hare Krishna.
So, thank you for listening so far. Hopefully all the kinks in here and the echo and so on have been resolved. I don't know yet, but I don't hear it, but I think it's okay now, by the Lord's mercy. So, I'm begging your permission. And
listening to my spiritual master and guidance from him, and also Srila Prabhupada and Parampara, to be used to tell you what they want you to hear this morning. Hare Krishna. So, from the translation, what Sri Kavi, one of the nine Navigendras, is saying in response to the question, what's the highest good? So he says the highest good actually is devotional service. And speaking about devotional service, we should aspire to get to pure devotional service platform. So Sri Kavi is saying that fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as a material body because of absorption in the external and illusory energy of the Lord. So this is the revelation of where fear comes from. When we identify ourselves as we are the body, then fear arises, because fear is part of the life involving the material body and the material mind. So when we absorb ourselves in this maya, the losing energy of the Lord, then fear comes along with it. Sense gratification is there, but also fear comes along with it. Even fear is tacked on to sense gratification. In many cases, when somebody is enjoying sense gratification, they are also fearful. You take even, you know, illicit sex life. There's always the fear of pregnancy that's not wanted, unwanted pregnancy. So a person is trying to enjoy sense gratification, but then they're fearful. And all kinds of problems come with other types of sense gratification. A person that drinks, a person that smokes, a person that smokes is asking for cancer. A person that drinks is asking for the liver to be destroyed. Not to mention the immediate things like getting drunk and misbehaving and revealing things that normally they wouldn't even want to reveal because it's too embarrassing in their lives. But when they get so uninhibited because they're drunk, they talk about all those things, literally embarrassing themselves. So all of these things, inconvenience and fear, comes with sense gratification, which is tied to a person identifying himself that or herself as a material body. So let me enjoy myself. This is the thought: let me enjoy myself. Life is short, let's play as hard as you can. All sense gratification, but in fact they're putting themselves in big illusion. So this is what Sri Kavi is saying. So he's saying, and in the next sentence is, when the living entity turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is telling us, and the Prabhupada before him have always said, we need to connect with the Supreme Lord and understand that we are, by constitution, a servant of a servant of a servant of the Supreme Lord. Das, 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 and das. Das was me. So, when the living entity turns away from the Supreme Lord, then this fearful condition, whether they realize it or not, it becomes part of their life. But the fearful condition is caused by maya, the illusory potency. Therefore, Sri Kavi is saying, an intelligent person should stay away from that and instead engage without any change. Ahoitiki apatiyata. No stopping of it. Fully engage in unalloyed devotional service. Unalloyed means expecting anything. No alloy. Alloy in chemistry means when you have one metal mixed another metal. So there's some mixture in it. It should be pure. Unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. So we should get direction from a spiritual master. Most of us, those of us who are not pure devotees, I'm one of them, conditioned souls, even if we understand or we know or we get convinced that we should be about devotion service, we don't do it purely. So since spiritual master guides us not only to involve ourselves in devotion service, but to constantly grow so that we get to the unalloyed platform by his mercy. So the bona fide spiritual master should be accepted as a worshipable deity and as his very life and soul. Now why is that? Spiritual master is not Krishna. But still, CKV is saying we should accept the spiritual master as a worshipable deity and as his, our very life and soul. Why? Well, two things. Krishna is absolute. That's one. Everything about him is him. That's the first point. And the spiritual master, the second point, he's a representative of Krishna. So if he's representative of Krishna, then what he says comes from Krishna. Krishna gives him guidance, and then he tells us the guidance. So he's the medium through which Krishna speaks to us. But Krishna is absolute. So Krishna's speech is also Krishna. Krishna's paraphernalia is Krishna. So the bona fide spiritual master is not Krishna, but because the words coming from the bona fide spiritual master is Krishna's words, and Krishna is absolute, and his words are him also, so then he, the spiritual master, becomes the one that represents Krishna's speech, just like the deity is speaking. Therefore, CKV is saying that it makes sense, it makes all the sense in the world practically, to regard the spiritual master as the worshipable deity, because it is his words, the words from Krishna through him, not his words, but the words from Krishna through him, that is guiding us. And because Krishna himself is absolute, then his words is also Krishna. So we should accept worshipable deity as, accept the spiritual master as worshipable deity and as his very life and soul. We'll get back to this a little later, especially what Srila Prabhupada not only said, but also did in his own life. So in the purpose, Srila Prabhupada is saying, according to Srila Swami, somebody may say, well, fear is caused by ignorance. And if you dispel ignorance, that is, if you get to know, if you go after knowledge, and knowledge makes you get away from ignorance, okay, knowledge is what replaces ignorance, then once you know, what's there to fear? Fear is gone because a person who is knowledgeable knows they don't have to fear from their knowledge. So that's it. Then the worship of Supreme Lord is not necessary. You're just fearful, you get knowledge, and from the knowledge, fine, you're fine. And therefore, what is the need to worship the Supreme Lord? So Srila Swami is saying, some people may object like that. Obviously, those who don't believe in Krishna may object. But then he goes on to say, the living entity falsely identifies with his material body, his family, and so on, the society, all of that. And all he has to do is give up this false identification. Then, what will Maya be able to do? So then Siddhartha Swami is quoting that the divine energy of Krishna, this divine energy, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross over it. So what it amounts to is, he didn't even have to explain, he just quoted Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Krishna provides the answer. So somebody that's trying to use argument, material argument, to try to say, okay, this is how you overcome fear, the response is there. First of all, what constitutes fear? Fear is part of the material energy in the mode of ignorance. The three modes of material energy. Krishna says this divine energy is his. It belongs to Krishna. And he also makes another point. It's difficult to overcome. So we can't use philosophical argument to try to overcome fear or try to get away from the three modes of material nature. What it takes is surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who surrender to me can easily cross beyond it. Once we surrender, then Krishna is the one that actually runs our lives. And remember, we have free will, so Krishna will not impose on us. But if we submit our free will and say, Krishna, you run my life, then not surrender. And from that, then everything runs nicely, because now Krishna, the living entity, has in fact come to his senses and allowed Krishna to run his life, and he or she has opted to become servant of a servant of a servant. And this is where the freedom really is, freedom from fear. So we are marginal. There's the Antaranga Shakti, which is the the supreme Shakti, then the separated energy, Shakti, the material one, is the Bahiranga Shakti, and then we, because of our free will, we are marginal. We can choose to either go with the Antaranga or the Bahiranga, the internal potency or the external potency of the Lord. So that's our position. And we are also minute. So we are eternally dependent on the supreme living entity, Krishna. Nitya nityanam chetananam eko bahuna yobhidadati kaman, which translates to all of the conscious beings are there, but then there's one supreme eternal living being, that's Krishna, and he supplies all the needs, all the needs for every living entity, as innumerable as we are. He supplies the needs of all of us. So clearly, if we depend on Krishna, the controller, the supreme controller, then we're fine. All living entities depend upon him, whether they know it or not. And I was thinking the other day how funny it is. Sometimes people think that they create things, especially in this country. Whatever material situation that comes up, this country, America, you know, scientists and others find a way to solve the problem. So much so that when people develop bad habits, they don't even put signs saying that stop this bad habit. They just develop something critical, I mean something scientific, to get around it. So this is the mentality here. And what it is because science is used to try to find solutions, and other scientific products come up, you know, applied science, engineering, they come up with different, especially electronic items, and we're told life is made more convenient that way. Well, it may be, but there's always, when there's convenience, there's also some difficulties attached to it. That's always the case. So people tend to think, well, we can solve our problems. The problem comes up, we find a solution through science. Therefore, we don't have to worry about depending on anybody. But this is a flawed type of thinking. It's incorrect thinking. Nobody can do anything on this earth without the supplies from Mother Nature. Just think about it. Try to come up with any kind of product by yourself, or get other people to make the product for you. But don't start with anything from the earth. Start with something from yourself. Can you do it? It's impossible. Everything that's been produced in this world started with something supplied by Mother Nature. And Krishna owns Mother Nature. Therefore, all living entities, whether they believe in Krishna or not, still depend on him. It's just that there are some of us who admit it, and some people who don't want to admit it. And that is the distinction between a divine person, a religious person, and we are Sanatana Dharma, eternally religious person, and those who are demonic in thinking, who don't want Krishna to be the center or even accept that he is a supreme controller. They want to be the controller. And that is the problem. So much disturbances come from not accepting that Krishna is the supreme controller, not accepting that the material world is no place to be, that there's only sense gratification and then there's distress. That's it. Sense gratification and distress. Sometimes we call it happiness and distress, but actually there is no real happiness. Real happiness is connected with Krishna consciousness. That's it. Real happiness comes from the soul. Everything else is not real happiness. And then there is disturbance, which is also related to the body. Distress is related to the body. And the soul's natural constitutional position doesn't involve any distress. The people in the in the spiritual world aren't going through any distress. That is the soul's natural environment. There is no distress. Therefore, we should be most thankful and appreciative of what the Parampara, Dr. Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's disciples and so on, have spread to the whole world the real knowledge, which is Krishna consciousness, to live that way, that lifestyle. So Living as Srila Prabhupada continues in the purport. So he's saying, Srila Prabhupada is saying that his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he makes a comment that when the living entity develops a spirit of independence, God is not important in my life, then he is forced to come to the material world, where he enters into various types of petty and undesirable behavior that create a fearful situation for him. Every single type of the 8,400,000 types of material bodies, every single one of them has some fear attached to it. Some of the fears are obvious, and some of them, well, we don't see it. We have to read about it. For example, fear from the demigods. One example being that when Bali Maharaj was so charged with Kshatriya energy, and then he attacked the heavenly planets, the demigods, which are one of the highest type of, or the most versatile and powerful type of material body, they were fearful of him. And they were informed, yeah, you'll not be able to, you can fight him, but you won't be able to conquer him. Hiranyakashipu did the same thing. He also controlled the demigods, except Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva is not even a demigod, he just acts that way. But Lord Brahma, he couldn't control. But the rest of them were under him, including Lord Indra. And that's demigod type body. What to speak of this ones that we have Bhaktisiddhanta is calling petty and undesirable behavior, which is associated with these bodies, and that they create a fearful situation for him. Now if you come down to the lower types of physical bodies, like the ones that the animals have, take the smaller animals, they are fearful all of the time. Living around Giranagri, we see the deer coming. The deer crosses the road in fear. The deer starts to feed on whatever. Deer is vegetarian, so they start to feed on grass and so on. But after they feed for a little bit, they get up and look around. And you can see fear in their eyes. If you're close enough, you can see fear in their eyes. Trying to make sure, is there any trouble around? Is there somebody coming to get me? It's always like that. Even rabbits, same thing. They will try to feed on somebody looking around, and the first thing that they see move that's a little unusual, they immediately start running away. So that is the life they live. Human beings are also fearful. How many people go to sleep at night and leave their doors open? How many these days? Because of fear that somebody would break in, somebody would cause bodily harm, we lock our doors. Not only close it, but lock it. And you find all kinds of locks and all kinds of even electronic protection along with it. So the human is also fearful. And this is the life we live. But we can understand Krishna. So then we should start thinking, alright, why should we continue to live in fear like this? So then Srila Prabhupada has already given the solution. This is not our home. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and go back home where there is no fear, where there is all knowledge, where there is eternality, and then where there is total, highest happiness, which you call bliss. So Srila Prabhupada continues that the living entity becomes attached to many phantasmagorical forms. And let's put this in this, the word is a big word, but it really describes the situation. We think we got something real, but it's actually unreal. It's empty. Phantasmagorical means it's empty. There's no real need, no use, no ultimate good use of it. That thing that we attach to, this personal body, bodies of family members, friends, nations, cities, buildings, cars, and as he put it, innumerable types of ephemeral material scenery. Ephemeral means things that don't last long. They last for only a short while. In fact, the actual meaning is things that, it came from science. Ephemeral is the thing that lasts for one day. So that's how short it is. But now it's used generally. It lasts for a short while. So the material scenery will last for a short while. And then we get so involved in it, the majority of people have gotten so involved in it that even one's original identity no longer even crosses the mind. People don't even think about who they really are. That's why Srila Prabhupada, when he started teaching, he came to America and he just says, I have come to give you what you have forgotten. Bhakti Yoga, lifestyle which is pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is devotional service. Bhakti Yoga, we've forgotten and we've attached ourselves to so many temporary, you know, phantasmagorical forms in the body and the family members and so on. And we are actually losing. But we think that we're living well. So Krishna consciousness is in fact a great, great, great revelation to us about what life really should be about. So Srila Prabhupada continues, the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord. It's impossible to escape that Maya without the direct mercy of Krishna. And he gives the example like, sun is covered by the clouds. No man-made apparatus can remove the clouds from the sky. But when the sun itself, which created the clouds, if the sun evaporates the water and the water goes up and the clouds are formed, when the sun, at his own leisure, can immediately burn away the clouds, making it fall as rain, and then the sun can reveal itself again. So in that way, taking a similar type of comparison, when we become covered as clouds by the illusory potency of the Lord, then we can't see properly. We identify ourselves with the material body. And that gives us fear and that gives us anxiety. But when we surrender to the Lord himself, then the Lord burns away this illusion. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is making the point here. When we surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then fear is gone. Because then the living entity now understands that he is not a material body, but an eternal servant of Krishna. And then that fear goes away on its own accord. Later we will look at some of the things that cause fear in a little more detail materially. And then other details about how to, what the mindset should be in order to not be, or in order not to be fearful. So Srila Prabhupada also says, it is important to make clear that bhayam or fear cannot be ultimately vanquished by impersonal self-realization. I'm spirit soul, but then impersonally, not really connecting that knowledge to Krishna and service to Krishna. Because some people are saying, if we just stop material activities and we get rid of the idea of a bodily concept of life, then we're fine. But you see, they're not adding the fact that we are living entities that should serve Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And that's really the fullness of life. Yes, to say that, to stop material activities, that may be the beginning. Actually, I don't even know how to do that. How you stop material activities still being in a physical body. So it doesn't even make sense. But, you know, some people think, yes, and the impersonalists think that way. But that is not the way. Ultimately, Srila Prabhupada is saying, it will not save a person. So the bottom line is, we have to serve Krishna and serve Krishna by surrendering everything to him. If we try to give up pleasure-seeking propensity, we'll eventually become frustrated. In other words, oh, well, the pleasure causes problems, therefore I won't seek pleasure anymore. But the soul is pleasure-seeking. So by doing that and not connecting ourselves to Bhakti Yoga, we'll eventually become frustrated and realize, what am I doing to myself? What am I doing this for? And then get back to sense gratification. So we can't do that just on its own. Stop pleasure seeking. But we should direct our pleasure seeking towards the service of the Supreme Lord. That's where Ananda is. Real pleasure is. So only the bhakta can become free from fear. Now, here are a few things. The different types of fear that are there. One is the fear of the uncertainty in life. We don't know from one point to another, which is what bothers people, what's going to happen. We want to be so sure about what's going to happen from one point to another, but that's never ultimately the case. We don't know what could happen. So that's fear, the uncertainty is there. Or, second point, the fear of death of one's children or mother. We have children, especially those of grihasthas that have children. We always worry about them. When they leave, would they come back? Would they be okay? How many times, those of us with cell phones, that we text our children just to, in so many ways, find out if they're okay. We may not even see in the text message, are you okay? But we ask a question that really amounts to, are you okay? And we expect the child to answer. And if we don't answer that text for a long time, 1 hour, 2 hours, and they're not home, immediately we begin to worry. Is they okay? Something has happened to them? Or, you know, same thing. And the children also worry about their mother. So the fear of death of one's, or something bad happening to one's children or mother, is always there. And then even those who become devotees. Sometimes, and I've heard devotees ask this question, fear of spiritual fall down. Some people allow so many negative things to come to their minds. They think negatively, and even in spirituality they still talk about, but what will happen? One of the concerns by many devotees is, will I make it back to the spiritual world this lifetime? Well, honestly, that is a good question. That is also a big question. Even after getting to the point with all of the preaching that we've heard and the discussion that we have, that our home is in fact the spiritual world, and we are in these physical bodies, and we are trying to live our lifestyle, especially in Kali Yuga, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Will we make it back to the spiritual world? Well, the answer to that is, Krishna is the one that decides who goes back to the spiritual world. So, what we need to do is not worry about whether we'll go to the spiritual world in this lifetime, or the next lifetime, or the one after that. The important thing is to put in the effort to get better and better and better at serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. That's where we need to concentrate on. Not fear of falling down. Not fear of whether we'll go back to the spiritual world. But we should concentrate more on good quality and good quantity service to the Lord. And by that effort, the mercy of Krishna will be attracted, and that's how we get back. So, that is the key. Also, there are other types of fear. Fear of abandonment by the spiritual master. That also sometimes happens in the Buddhist minds. When Maya seems to be able to control us more, and we get a little bit concerned, that, or sometimes a lot concerned, that we're doing so many things that are negative. We know what the right thing is, but we're not doing it. Especially when we're chanting. Chanting, then our mind roams about. And so the chanting quality is not so great. And Krishna is connecting to the spiritual master. The spiritual master is representative. And so sometimes even through the chanting, the spiritual master, who is a Diksha Guru, would know that this particular disciple of mine is not doing so well. So fear of abandonment by the spiritual master, fear of making the spiritual master upset with us, is also there. And then of course, fear of one's own death. But devotees should not fear death, because death means Krishna has come in disguise to take us back home. For karmis, for non-devotees, death means coming to stop everything that they're doing for sense gratification. But for devotees, death means Krishna is coming to take us finally out of this material world. Or Krishna is going to take us from these bodies and give us another body that would in fact get us closer and closer to Him in service. So, we need not be fearful of death. So, the person, this is Tinabhakti Tirthaswami commenting on this person who fears a spiritual fall down. The person who fears a spiritual fall down probably intensely hopes never to stray from the spiritual path. So in one sense, that's what helps us. If we say we are afraid of a spiritual fall down, then we'll be more serious with it because we don't want to fall down. And that's the point that Magumaj is making. So a person who fears abandonment by a spiritual master, which is the other one, would most desire to have a spiritual master always present. Now that is actually a no-no. Why is it a no-no? Why is it that the person fearing that the spiritual master may abandon them would want the spiritual master around that they can see the spiritual master? But that's not the way to actually connect the spiritual master. You don't have to be seeing the spiritual master physically, because then you attach the spiritual master's physical body, the body. This is what happened to quite a few devotees whose spiritual masters left the body. Srila Prabhupada left the body, and quite a few of his disciples fell down. And that has also happened in some cases of other spiritual masters leaving. And the devotees either get into Maya, they don't take the spiritual process seriously, and then they just slowly fall away. Because I know my spiritual master has also left his body, and some of it has happened to some of my God family members. Same thing has happened. We try to do our best to get them to be more serious, but then ultimately you can take a horse to the bank of a river, but you can't force them to drink the water. So it's unfortunate, but this is also something that happened. So other types of fear are general anxieties. Sometimes people panic. There's panic attacks. For no reason, the mind just goes into this mode where, you know, people just get afraid. It's called a panic attack. They sometimes have shortness of breath. Sometimes they sweat. They shake. Heart palpitations. Sometimes even as bad as vomiting. So all of those things attach to the physical body. And then obsessive compulsive disorder. Because in psychology they know all of these things. And in short, this, a person is afraid of something, and so they try to ward it off by repeatedly doing an activity that is rather unusual. For example, if a person has a compulsive, obsessive compulsive behavior of they're afraid to get sick from something might affect them. They might, you know, be attacked by a contagious disease. So they spend hours and hours and hours washing their hands, if that disease may come through the hands being unclean. Or a person may be afraid to leave a door unlocked because they think somebody may come in at any time. So they go back to the door so many times checking to make sure the door is locked. This is called obsessive compulsive disorder. And then phobias. They are afraid of different things. Sometimes that's connected to a past life. Somebody may have died by drowning. So now anytime they see water and they get even near a beach, they immediately go into some kind of panic. Or somebody they have fallen from a tall building and died. So now when they see anything that involves heights, they immediately get very, very afraid. So that's also there. And then there's post-traumatic stress, which is something bad happening to somebody and then leaving a very, very negative mark in the mind. And so every now and then the mind plays that situation again, even though they're not going through it now, I'm going through it again, but it's in the mind. And immediately it gives them stress. So all of these are attached to the physical body. Now, what are the solutions to fear? We have to not only involve ourselves in devotional service, but we have to strive for pure devotional service. In other words, our devotional service is there. We should stay with it, but we should actually strive to improve the quality of it. And that is extremely, extremely important. The other day we were talking about Srila Prabhupada has given us mercy, and the mercy is we chant 16 rounds minimum. But he said minimum, though. We need to chant in order that we really connect the Supreme Personality of God and ultimately in love. Therefore, on our own, we may want to increase the number of rounds. So, strive for pure devotional service. Pure devotees, they are not fearful because they've submitted everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Second point, chant constantly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we should involve ourselves in japa, we should involve ourselves in kirtan, either singing ourselves or hearing songs and hearing lectures about the holy name. And that removes us from material fear, because it's the mind that makes us fearful. But if we flood the mind with the holy name, then they don't give a chance for fear to also enter. And that way, our confidence in Krishna is increased. Third point, positive affirmations. This so many people don't use. And some people think it's even crazy to do that. But you see, the mind is the way it is. So psychologists, knowing what the mind is like, are basically in so many ways asking us to trick the mind into having it come to our side and not be fearful. Fear, first place of fear, our reaction to it is there. Yes, our emotions is there, but it's the mind first that says, gives us reason to fear. The mind gives us reason to fear. So positive affirmations speak to the mind. Raghunath Das Goswami wrote a whole book about the mind. It's called Mana Shiksha, Instructions to the Mind. And in it, he says, "Oh my mind, please, please dance, and please, please remember the pastimes of Radha and Krishna." In so many words, the book was about that. And it's a wonderful book. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the one who wrote purports to it. There's wonderful. Other books have been written also with a different person writing the purports. But the ones that I know of, that one particular book that I saw, that was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in fact, one of his purports, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying that we have to be careful about the mind, because the mind can be duplicitous. Making people sometimes believe one thing. That is, the mind can be deceitful sometimes. We have to be very, very, very careful. That's the worst thing we can do to ourselves, ultimately. We're trying to get other people to think the way we want them to think by telling them things that are not true. That's deceit. But then, we also pay heavily for it. Because deceit is actually lying. And Mother Bhumi has already said in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, she can't give anybody assistance when they are a liar. So we have to be very careful. Anyway, back to positive affirmations. We have to think how fortunate we are to be servant of a servant of a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because we have to think that through that, we are in fact protected by the Lord. So then our part of the positive affirmation is, I am protected by Krishna. Tell the mind this, I am protected by Krishna. I am protected by Krishna's internal potency. Now, psychologists tell us we should never give affirmations by saying no to negative things, because the mind doesn't work that way. In other words, if you say, I'm not afraid of the dark anymore, I'm not afraid of the, but the word afraid is a fearful word. And so if you say, I'm not afraid of the dark, then the mind has heard the word afraid. So you really don't get away from being afraid of the dark. So don't use negative words and say, I don't deal with that negative. To trick the mind, you have to use a positive type word and stay with that. I am protected. So the mind thinks protection. Because if you say, I'm not afraid, the mind would think afraid. Because you use that word. So this is what, anyway, this is secondary matter. It's not directly Krishna conscious. But that's, you know, sometimes we use the secondary thing to try to help the primary, which is Krishna consciousness. So that's there. And then another secondary thing is, but then I have an actual example to support it, because Krishna talked about this. And that is what's called the law of attraction. What you attract is what comes to you. This I know that in my own life personally. When you think about getting a particular thing and your mind is on it, somehow there will be the means, the path will come to you as to how to get that thing. And that could be anything. So then knowing that the law of attraction is there, then we use the law of attraction for Krishna consciousness. Just like Baltimore, they focus their mind very much on, we want a new temple. Our old temple is a small, relatively small building. And it's an old building, and a lot of things are falling apart, and we have to fix it and fix and fix. We need a new building. So they went after it and raised the money for it, and by the mercy of Lord Jagannath, 2.5 years later, they have a $3.2 million beautiful building that they moved the deities in only weeks ago. So I think it's 2 weeks ago, if not this past week, I'm not sure, but it's very, 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 very recently. Beautiful building. And now they're even looking forward to even more, attracting more to the devotees and attracting more to the Lord. Now they are embarking on getting a replica. A replica means a copy like that of the chakra that is on top of the Jagannath temple in Jagannath Puri. They want a similar one on top of the Baltimore temple, and they're raising money for it because they see it's possible. They see it's possible to build a beautiful building like they have, beautiful outside and inside, for the temple, for the pleasure of the temple, for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. So why not? They're going the next step, attracting more things. So we can also do that even in a small way in our lives, attracting positive things for service to ourselves. So the steps for the law of attraction is you ask and you believe and then you receive. So in this last point we want to make is in the battle of Kurukshetra, the first time Karna and Arjun faced each other, Karna almost killed Arjun. And when later on they went, Krishna actually saved Arjun. Krishna appealed to Surya, and Surya immediately withdrew his light, the sun, and so it became dark. And the rule was that at dark time, when it gets dark, then the war is over. Whether the conch shell is blown or not, when it's dark, Bhishma made that rule, no fighting. So when literally Karna was able to trap and make Arjun helpless and susceptible to death, then you know Krishna immediately ordered Surya to withdraw, so he got dark, and that's how Karna didn't follow through. So it bothered, to say the least, Arjun quite a bit. So then Arjun and Krishna had a talk back at their camp, and he says, you see what's happened. Arjun is saying, and of course Arjun was put in the position many, many times of acting like what we would normally do. So then Arjun told Krishna, but he could have killed me. He could have killed me. And I've been actually favored by him. Krishna says, no. Why do you think about it that way? The rule is, when there is no sun, there is no fighting. So there was no sun, so he couldn't have killed you. But then you have to meet him tomorrow. And so you have to be focused now. And then he reminded him, you remember when you were little and Dronacharya was teaching you guys how to fight military science, and you're the one that he was most pleased with, because when he put a fake bird in the tree and he was asking everybody, take aim, what do you see? Everybody was talking about the bird and the trees and the leaves and everything. You're the only one that said, I'm only looking at the eye of the bird and I don't see anything else. So now your focus should be Karna only. Only Karna. Tomorrow. Focus on it. You want to attract to yourself being able to defeat Karna. And that's all. And this is what Arjun heard and believed. And so he was pinpointed on it. And then, of course, the next day he was victorious. So the law of attraction can be used in our lives also, but we should use it for devotional service. And that would be most pleasing to Guru and Krishna. And finally, we should give our life and soul. Krishna, Srila Prabhupada did that. I said we'd come back to it. And that's the point we want to make here. He gave his life and soul, Srila Prabhupada, to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj's instruction to spread Krishna consciousness. Two things: spread Krishna consciousness in the Western world, very unfortunate Western world that don't know anything but sense gratification only, and secondly, if you get money, print books. And book distribution has spread Srila Prabhupada's message all over the world, and of course he came to America, and this is how people like us got to know about Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. And so we'll stop here. I just want to read the text translation again. And that is, fear Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. And this bewildering, fearful condition is caused by the potency for illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage without any unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and he should accept the spiritual master as his worshipful deity and his very life and soul. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here, and I apologize for the inconvenience electronically at the beginning of this echoing and so on. I heard a little echo in the somewhere in the middle, but not so much. Alright, so we'll stop here. So Mataji, and everybody, can unmute your phones now and ask questions or comments and so on. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Madanat pranam to you once again, Shri Prabhupada Jai Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much. Your classes are so wonderful. So incredible.
Krishna's mercy and Guru's mercy.
Shamanika Mataji on the call, she's not there today. She gave me the call service to take care.
And you've done wonderful so far.
Prabhuji, like what? Sorry, Prabhuji, go ahead.
No, I said you've done wonderful so far. You did it very smoothly. Let's go on. Okay. You have a question?
We are wonderful in the association of devotees, but when devotees are not there, then our true nature comes out. Not for me. But Prabhuji, I was thinking that several times in my practices, I don't know if it's a question or a comment or a discussion, but what happens is sometimes, you mention so nicely about the mind. The mind is, with the negative talk, the mind catches on to that. But if everything is positive, there's no no's and no and don'ts, really like that aspect. Although it was not very connected, as you said, to Krishna consciousness, but it's very, very helpful. The psychology plays a very important role to understand, because what happens with me is, suppose I'm trying to make some decisions, and I'm thinking that, whether this will be the right decision or not, I try to write it down on the paper, and then I write down the Mahamantra, underneath, and then I wait for some time before I take a final decision on that aspect, because I truly believe that, the mind, can take us to places, we can do activities or go here and there, and then later on there's a lot of regret factor. So we want to include Krishna everywhere, so we're making some decision, because I've heard several times that like this material body, the mind is material too. So in a way, in that aspect, it becomes like an enemy, because it's like material, it wants to do wander and eat and do all kinds of things here. Now the thing is, should we be very fearful of our mind? Like you said, there are so many fears. I'm actually thinking to be fearful of the mind is another fear. It's always taking you away from, like you always heard that Maya Devi, she's doesn't want the non-serious people to be around Krishna. So that kind of thing. So we're already entrapped in this this energy. So do you have something more to share on these lines? I don't have a specific question.
I understand.
Or something which you can guide, as a counselor, I feel you're like a teacher. So some things like this come in the mind, how do we handle it? How do we surrender that thought to Krishna?
I understand.
That do we take this path? Do we do this action?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I was elaborating myself so I can make you understand.
Okay, I understand, and thank you for doing that. Let me put it this way. My Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, explains simply how we go about this. Yes, we can't be sure when some ideas come to our mind. Is it the right thing to do? The way I plan my day, is it the right thing to do? What about things coming up and the fear of things not working out well? It's very simple to remove that fear the way he taught it. And he taught it this. We should understand first that we are servant of Krishna. We are submitted to Krishna. So then we should have a prayer. Remember, there are 9 processes and prayer is one of them. Our prayer should be, Dear Lord, I'm thinking this way, how I plan my day. I'm thinking this way. But whatever that you approve of in this plan, then let it work out. And whatever you disapprove of it, then stop it. So basically, we have thought of things, but we've submitted everything that we've thought to Krishna. And so we go through life then, that day, with the confidence that that prayer has been heard by Krishna, and therefore when some of the things work out, fine. When some of the things don't work out, that's also fine, because what happens is, in the end, we'll find out that it was in fact better that the things that work out, work out. That's easy for us because we planned it and it worked out that way. But the things that didn't work out, we find out that actually it wasn't the best for us anyway. That something better was supposed to be happening. It happens in my own life because I pray like that. So it happens to my life over and over and over again. So I've got to the point where now when some things happen in opposition to what I thought of, I immediately speak to the mind and says, yeah, but you prayed about it. So obviously that was one of those things that Krishna didn't want to see happen that way. So don't worry about it. And the funny thing is, it doesn't take long to find out. I'll give an example. Sometimes I didn't write an email. I was writing email to Shesha Prabhu, who is a GBC minister for education and also for law. And I saw him at the Baltimore temple that I just talked about, the new temple when it was opened, the deities were transferred from the old temple to the new temple. He came. And I told him, there are some things that I'm doing, service, and I want your advice on it. I know him personally. I'd like your advice on it. So I'm going to email you. And he said, okay. Because, you know, a lot of things were happening. I didn't have time to talk with him. But I told him I'd email him. So then 3 days later, Wednesday, I emailed him. And I actually had repeated to him that day, on the Sunday. It was last Sunday, 30th April. I told him that I remember he gave his email, and I repeated his email address to him, and you know, he just was listening to everything, so he said, okay, well, I'll expect to email then. So Wednesday I wrote to him, fairly long email, described the project that I was in, then I described a few conditions that I put in the project, and I sent the email. And seconds later, I got a message in my inbox that the email was undeliverable. So it didn't get to him. And I said, why? I'm thinking that way. Why? And then it didn't take long. The ideas came. He said, the response that I got was, you know, that came to my mind. And I know my guru Maharaj guides me through this. You put conditions in there in the project that you shouldn't have put in. You should not say you want to do a project under these type of conditions. You should surrender totally to the project. It's a nice project, but don't put any condition to it. And I said, that's probably the reason why the email didn't go. So now I talked to my wife about it, and she corrected me. She says, there's a little more to that email address that you didn't put in, and that's why the email didn't go. So I read it this way, that I had put a condition that I shouldn't have put in the email, and so Krishna stopped the email from going. So now I have a chance to write and totally submit myself to the project and put it that way. And I'm sure that's going to go. I haven't written it yet. But see, it's something that simple. That simple. I think I'm doing service, but I'm also thinking about a few conditions in my own life. And since he's a personal friend, I included it in it. And the response I got is, you shouldn't include anything personal in it. Therefore, Krishna blocked the email. Just like that. So if we really, you know, write things down that we want to do, and we tell Krishna, or we don't even tell Krishna, we tell Guru, because Guru is our connection to Krishna. We pray to Guru and say, this is what I'm thinking of. If it's to work out okay, fine. Whatever is not good, my Guru Maharaj likes to put it that way. He says, whatever is not good, sabotage it. He says, we pray and say, whatever is not good, you sabotage it. And whatever is good, do it. Make it happen. And then you just go about your life for the day. Because in everything that you're doing, you're confident that you have prayed to Krishna, so what will work out, he will let it work out. What won't work out, he will take it off. And it's actually easier to live life that way. Hare Krishna.
understand that, you know, like, we have to contemplate on things and in the sense that we have to be very careful about not making an impulsive decision, but put Krishna
absolutely
know, in every step.
Mm-hmm. That's the key.
Yeah.
So any other comments or questions?
Hare Krishna,
Jai, Dhanvapana, Sepan, all the basis, Lord Shri Prabhupada, you
did. But also please explain that when you give Krishna something, then he asks for more.
Why not? Sometimes he gives more facility to do the service, and sometimes that's the indirect way of Krishna asking for more. When he gives more facility, more ideas and more facility to do service. So, yes, that's always there because Krishna does that so that he does that to the gopis all the time. That's a whole chapter. This crossed my mind there. But he does that so that we'll be more in bliss. We'll be happier and happier in serving him because that's where our real happiness is. So, when he asks for more, and some, not always, but sometimes when he asks for more, it's to our own benefit. It's to our own benefit. The service would be sweetened. And Krishna knows, because we don't know, but Krishna knows everything. Past, present, and future. He knows that we'll be happier. He knows that our service attitude would increase. And therefore, then he guides that way. And one of the ways he guides sometimes is to ask for more about a particular service, either the service itself or aspects of it to increase or to improve. But in the end, we actually are the ones that benefit from it. We get more excited about Krishna consciousness and therefore our love for Krishna increases that way. Hare Krishna. That all right, Papaji? Oh. Hare Krishna. Jai Gosh Shri Prabhupada. Any other comments or questions?
Really, your class was very wonderful.
That's the Lord's mercy. That's Guru's mercy.
I don't know how and what you were speaking, but it is very nice.
It was basically about...
Sorry,
I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead. I was going to just like summarize quickly what the class was.
Yeah, sure.
It was...
You are touching to many different points from few angles.
Yes.
You are describing the figure.
Mm-hmm.
You're describing whatever, maybe 5, 10, 15 different type of fear.
Mm-hmm.
But actuality, whole existence is fearful. It doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
Just,
that's true.
You try to break it up a little bit and explain. But it is amazing that even by then people will have chance to see that ears are fearful and any species of life actually they are fearful.
Yeah, even demigods are. Yeah.
Lord says in Mamba Tuja, we are they do cut us on the
absolutely, go ahead.
Yes, sir. So, what it is it's not the first thing, but one of the things we need to understand as and Anudarshanam is constantly see that. In other words, you have to check it out and you have to see that there is this fear, distress, unhappiness, peace, there. Anything and everything. Like all living entities, even in
why there is fear? Well,
yeah. Why? No. Not why there is a fear. Why one should learn that there is a fear anywhere and everywhere. What should one learn from that there is a fear anywhere and everywhere?
Actually, Srila Prabhupada, that's what Srila Prabhupada has been telling us. When we are away from the spiritual world. The material world is designed in such a way that we'll have to contend with fear. It's just the way it is. Krishna has designed it that way. Krishna has designed the material world so that fear can frustrate us and make us realize we're not home. So we will make the endeavor to go back home. So this is part of it. All the inconveniences in the material world are actually a way in which Krishna is showing his mercy by saying, you made the decision to leave the spiritual world by your actions, your envy. Now you're here, and now things are inconvenient, and fear is one of them. You don't have to live under fear, because you don't have to live here in the material world. This is not your home. So prepare. And of course in Kali Yuga, the hearing and chanting and the other seven processes to get back to your original constitutional position. Then fear is not important. It's not going to be part of your life. And so that's the mercy that Krishna has put out, and the spiritual master is actually distributing that type of knowledge. So that even while we're here for a short time, with that type of knowledge, that material world is no place for us. Material world is going to give us inconvenience. Ultimately, all that's here is sense gratification, but not real enjoyment. That the soul is the one that really enjoys. The soul, the one in bliss, and it's in bliss by service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not comparing ourselves to Him and saying, why is it that He has so much and I don't have much? Why can't I be the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his capacity, you know, like He has? The things that the enviousness that causes us in the material world, dispel all of that, take that all from our minds, and submit ourselves as servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so we can get back home. So yes, fear may be here, and even if we can't deal with it so well, you know, we've been told how to deal with it, serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees have no fear. Amrish Maharaj had every reason to be fearful when Duvasamuni got that big fiery demon right in front of him to destroy him. Many people would have been fearful. But that was one example. Amrish Maharaj didn't show any fear. Why? Because he said, if this demon is meant to succeed in killing me, then it's the Lord that allowed it. And if the Lord doesn't want him, Rake Krishna Moreke More Krishna Rakeke. Then if the Lord does not want this demon to destroy me, what can the demon do? We know what really happened. The Lord invoked the Sudarshan Chakra and destroyed the demon, and then went after Duvasamuni himself. So when we read and we see these situations that happen, that should help remind us not to be fearful. The reason that a devotee should have to be really fearful
is if we are straying away from the path. If we're not doing what we're supposed to do in the hearing and the chanting and the service, and the attitude towards devotees, not being critical of them, not being angry with them, not finding fault, and you know, things like that, not gossiping about them. Those things, if we do, that should strike fear in our minds, because fear, that fear means our mind is telling us we are straying away from the path. We are getting off the center. The actual way in which a devotee is supposed to live his life. That's an issue. That's definitely an issue. And of course, the solution to that is to be constantly connected with a person or associated with a person that's fixed up. So then by association, we don't develop, or not only bad habits, but even our own bad habits will be kicked out. I know it's a longer way to go, you know, go around this, but yes, fear can be used usefully. And that is the only time that a devotee should be afraid of, is to be afraid not to do the proper things as a devotee. That definitely should be cause for concern. And therefore, that type is healthy fear, and that alone being there should make us focused on doing what we have to do. Haridas Thakur, the same thing. If I don't finish my rounds, I'm going to get into Maya. That was his thought. You can say that is some sort of, you know, concern that he had. So all of these are there to help us to stay on the path and not refrain from it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other comments? Oh, I just want to continue.
Yes. Thank you for taking the particular shloka that is so much serious.
Need
a connection. Can I share the connection?
Absolutely, yes, please.
The original word is the shloka which you took, but it's one word, it's an affiliation. But it was the affiliation. Which means anything which is misidentification. Or identity crisis.
And
absorption, affiliation is absorption for identification. We think that that is me. Anything which is misidentification causes fear. It's like they just say it's once word, like twice shy.
Yeah, once bitten, twice shy.
Why our Lord is naked? anek. I am fierce.
No.
So other students reply to them. So I said, okay, I will try to resolve that. I said that Shiva is called Mahakal. Kal means death. And so if the snake comes on anybody, the death comes.
Mm.
But because Lord Shiva is the controller of Kala, that's why he's called Mahakala. So for him, the snake is like an ornament. So if you take shelter, or if you remember Lord Shiva, then that fear should go away, because he is the Kala of Kala. He's the controller of Kala even. And that would be, if you are next to Lord Shiva, then even fear should not make you fear. So.
Yeah.
So, we have the higher shelter where the fear personified, because fear, and then we can feel safe.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for adding this comment to it. And when you were talking about the dispelling of fear because of the potency of Lord Shiva, then I said, what to speak of Lord Shiva? The dispelling of fear comes from Lord Shingadev. His name himself is a big example there. So how fortunate we are to know Lord Shiva and know Lord Shingadev. You know? So we're laughing about it. I'm sad, and I think the laughing is in good perspective, because if we think about Lord Lord Shingadev, what's there to fear then? What's there to fear? Hare Krishna. Anyway. So we give ourselves trouble, but we don't remember that the Lord is there, and that kind of potency is there for the Buddhists. Anyway, any other questions, comments?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Oh my God, everybody here today, they have nothing to do.
Hare Krishna.
Can I make a comment?
Absolutely. Yes, please go on.
Yes, it's a nice discussion, and but when Prabhu has raised the questions, and also when Madan Prabhu has answered also, and you also answered. But one thing also shows in the Bhagavad Gita that at the end, Krishna says, Brahma Buddha Prasannatma. So one who is on a Brahma Buddha platform, on a Brahma platform, in the Supreme platform, he is not worried or he is not fearful, because he is not trying to get anything, or he is not worried about losing anything. And then his other qualification is love for all the living entities. And in that position, those three conditions, Krishna says that one has to be on the platform of the soul, Brahma Buddha, and always has to be happy and not fearful. The third is that he does not require or does not ask for anything or does not fear for losing anything. And then also he has to respect and love for all the living entities. In that conditions, Madhbhakti Lapte Param. So in that condition, Krishna is guaranteed that that person get my devotional service. So one has to come to that platform not to be fearful. When one cannot be a fearful when he is on the platform of Brahma Buddha. Right now we are in a bodily platform, so that's why we are always fearful. That bodily platform has to come up, go, and then come. And then raise our consciousness up to the soul level, Brahma level. And then that level, we cannot be fearful for all these bodily necessities and bodily protections and all bodily things. So that is more important. And the process is that by chanting and associate with the devotees, and then be Krishna consciousness, we can come to that platform. And then by coming to that platform, one has, then we know that we are in this body as just like an occupant in a rented apartment. Just like a rental apartment, you just occupy for certain time. You pay the rent, and after some time you probably want to leave that. Same thing, just like Prabhupada gave example, like a car. The car is different and the driver is different. Similarly, this soul is renting this body for 50 years, 60 years, 100 years, 80 years, whatever the time frame is for his body. And then he has to go for the next one. So one understand that position and realize that as I'm temporarily in this place and in this body, and then move forward, that time understanding that I'm different from this body, I'm soul, and then understanding the difference between the qualifications, qualities of the body and the qualities of the soul. And one must understand what is the quality of the soul, and then realize that I am this soul and I have these qualities, and this body is a temporary, and the quality of the body does not belong to me. So at that time one becomes fearless, and then by coming to that platform, he has got more fixed up in Krishna consciousness. So one has to try for this. Whatever process been given by our Guru Maharaj and Parampara and Srila Prabhupada, one has to fix to in that situation, and then make a progress and then come to that platform.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for summarizing it very nicely, spiritually, that way. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Oh yes.
So, I think it's what you call it? Bichu, what you call it?
Scorpion.
Scorpion, yeah. Scorpions are brothers killed, then even the saintly person is not very happy.
Mm.
So he just put the, you know, that's, so he
was going back to his village, and just elation. What is that? I have nothing to fear. I have nobody to fear. And he was going like his mad, samadhi. From the outside was coming an elephant with a mahavat, elephant rider.
Mm.
He saw this mad Vishnu disciple. He was just an ancient. What is that prepare? I have heard over it. So Mahavat says, he was coming close. He called, hey boy, just get away. Get away from the side, because the path was not so wide. But he didn't care. He just kept on walking, and the elephant came and just tossed him.
Interesting story. Yeah.
Teacher, I followed your advice. The gist of all your teaching, the God is everywhere, and I have over here. I was doing, and this is what happened to me. So teacher said, if God is everywhere, was it also not in that Muhammad who was telling you get away?
Yes.
The side, that he should have noticed it. So it's awareness that the snake is, we are not getting, but if the snake comes, so any bad association, we don't hate it. It's like a Bible says, hate the sin, not the sinner.
But
snake can be hit here. We have to get away from it. Although we don't, but the Bhagavatam says that if the snake was pursued, it is because that he has come to the habitation of the human being, have a higher purpose.
Wonderful. Good comments. Very, very important. Well, you know, it just shows this, that yes, the fear is there, but also Krishna requires intelligence. He gives intelligence too. They both go together. So, you know, the protection part is definitely there. And I like the way you gave the details about the snake and encroaching upon the human's area, and therefore, of course, that's what happened to the snake. So, Hare Krishna, very important. Any other comments or questions? Any other comments or questions? So, Mataji, you can interrupt and end at any time. Yes.
You know, in discussion, in interaction, and it's so nice. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. We look forward to you coming here again and enlightening us. And so we pay our obeisances to all the devotees on the call.
Hare Krishna. Vanchaka. Dhruvishya. Vipassanibhya. Hivacha. Patitanam. Kavanebhyo.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Vaishnavibhyo namo namah. Yeah. Hare Krishna. God's mercy, Sri Prabhupada's mercy, Guru's mercy. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, you're like praying to your Guru Vargas, your Guru Maharaj, so you can deliver the message. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So he takes credit and Sri Prabhupada takes credit for it. Hare Krishna.